to Romans chapter 7, the book of Romans in chapter number 7. It is a great blessing to be here. I've been looking forward to it and what God has for us, and appreciate the opportunity so very much. We love your pastor and Miss Melissa and their boys, and just thankful for the opportunity to come over and not only have this great privilege of preaching here at Valley Avenue Baptist Church, but also to spend some time with your pastor and his family. Even though it's just about an hour drive back home, we're planning on staying here tonight so we can have that fellowship and have some time together with them. You know, you think just being an hour away from each other, we'd have more time that way, but he's always very busy in his job, and I'm very busy over there, and so we don't have time like we would like to, so it's a great blessing. And then I appreciate everybody being out this morning, and I want to encourage you, even if you're not in the habit of coming to the Sunday night service, I really want to encourage you to be here tonight. I have a message really that's specifically for the church, and so if you'd be here in your place, I know that hopefully it'd be a help and a blessing to the church and to you personally. I'm very thankful that there's a good Bible-believing teaching church here in Falls City, Nebraska, and I'm thankful for the folks that God has sent to this place. Romans chapter 7. Also find Galatians chapter 5. We'll go over there here just a little bit later in the message. If you'll just mark that with your bulletin or whatever, I appreciate the good music this morning. I'm thankful for the singing of the old hymns and then for that beautiful special in song. I've always, my wife and I really love that song. Very thankful for that. Romans chapter 7, did you find it? Would you mind to stand with me for the reading of the Word of God in honor of His Word? Unless you're not well able to stand, and God understands that. Romans chapter 7, in verse number 14. The Bible says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not, but what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, but to will is present with me, for to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin." Now, if you'll leave your Bible open there, we're going to look at these verses throughout the message. And I've titled the message this morning, "We Live in Rebellion." Me and you. You and I. We live in rebellion. As we get into it, it'd be more understandable. Would you pray with me and we'll get started? Heavenly Father, one last time before we get into this message, we just pray for your blessing upon it. Lord, guide and direct us. Help us. Give us power. Unction from on high. Illuminate your word in a special way. Lord, speak to hearts this morning. If there would happen to be someone here that doesn't know Christ, I pray that you'd make that very clear to them, that they may come to a saving knowledge of Christ before it's eternally too late. For us that do know him, Lord, help us, strengthen us, guide us, direct us. Reprove us, rebuke us if that's what's needed. But Lord, help us to draw closer to you because of your word this morning. Thank you for this good church and the people. I pray now that you'd bless our time together. We ask these things in the perfect name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for standing for the reading of the Word of God. And please be seated. I think it's very safe to say that there has not ever been a born-again child of God, someone that knows Christ as their Savior, that did not struggle with the flesh. Our own flesh is a force to be dealt with. It has an insatiable appetite for whatever it deems necessary at the time to be pleased. Have you ever dealt with this struggle? Okay. There are times that at Bible Baptist Temple, when we're working up toward a revival meeting, that I will ask the congregation to fast from certain things. We'll take a week or 4 weeks or 5 weeks of fasting, and we'll fast 1 week from bread, fast 1 week from desserts, fast 1 week from television, fast 1 week from social media, fast 1 week from coffee. That's a hard one there. Anyway, and take these times. And have you ever considered a fast like that, to just kind of, you know, to rule in the flesh, reign in the flesh just a little bit? And ever along that way get these thoughts, you know, this is just ridiculous. This is crazy. It's not helping me one bit to not have bread. It's not helping me one bit to not have coffee or desserts or whatever. You know why that happens? Because the flesh is argumentative. It wants its way when it wants its way. It wants to control you. You. See, these bodies are not us. These bodies are just vessels that carry us as we go through this life. One of these days we're going to get rid of this old body. Hallelujah. Then we can eat all the dessert we want to. That's going to be a grand time. Wonderful thing. But these bodies aren't us. It's just the vessel that carries us through this life. And the flesh that we have that surrounds us, it's argumentative. It will try to get us to do what it wants to do. And it will definitely tell us time and time and time and time and time again that God's way is not what you want. What you want is you want your own way. You want to go your own path. You want to do your own thing. You want to have your own time schedule. You don't want to give in to what God wants. You want to do what you want to do. It fights. And so, therefore, us as children of God, there's this fight between I know what I should do and I know what I want to do. You ever face that before? I know what I ought to be doing, but this is really what I want to do. And it's really crazy because people today are urged by this world just to be themselves. Just be yourself, whatever you are, whatever you want to do, just that's fine, just whatever you want to do. You don't have to listen to all that other stuff. And that's really a no-brainer for somebody that's not been saved. I mean, for somebody that doesn't have the Holy Spirit of God living inside of them, for somebody that has not trusted Christ as their personal Savior, and they've never been born again, that's not a big deal. Just be yourself, just go on, follow your heart. That's dangerous. No, the Bible says the heart is deceitful. Desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't want to be following our heart, but for somebody who doesn't know the Lord, I mean, that's not a big deal. But it's a lot harder for those of us that have been saved. Well, why is that? Because now there are two selves battling for the victory. We have the old nature that we had before we got saved, and now we have this new nature. The Spirit of God has moved in. Come on, you remember when you got saved, right? I mean, I remember when I got saved. I was saved out of a horrible lifestyle. I mean, very rough lifestyle. I could do anything I wanted to, anytime I wanted to. Nothing bothered me. I mean, nothing bothered me. I could lay my head down on my pillow every night and sleep like a baby. And I got saved by the grace of God, and I just couldn't do anything wrong without it bothering me. Because the Holy Spirit of God moves in, and He does convict us of sin, doesn't He? Absolutely so. And so we have this fight that goes on between us. I know what I should do, and I know what I want to do. It's a real fight that goes on. And with most people, sad to say, with most people, the old self wins out. And the old self wins out because the old self is bombarded 10 times more with what it wants than this new self is given what it needs. And look, if we were to spend as much or more time feeding our new self than we do the old self, I believe we'd see a lot more victory in our lives. We have to feed that new man. We have to strengthen the new man, the new woman that's inside of us. Look, that's where the Apostle Paul is. And that's what he's writing about. Now we have to consider this. The Apostle Paul was probably one of the very greatest Christians that ever walked the face of the earth. I mean, the Lord used him to write most of our New Testament. An amazing, amazing Christian. But he had these struggles. That's one of the reasons I love the Apostle Paul. He's my favorite person in the Bible besides the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because, I mean, you can see in his own writings that he had the same struggles that you and I have. The same thing. Because that struggle is very, very real. And so he brings it out in here. And here's the point, a good point to start with. To win this battle that goes on between the old self and the new self, to win the battle, you have to be willing to fight. You have to be willing to fight the enemy. You have to be willing to fight that one that continues to want what it wants more than what God wants. And he starts it out real clear here in verse number 14. He says this, "But I am carnal." He says it flat out. The Apostle Paul, he said, "I am carnal." Now, this isn't some unsaved person. This is somebody that's been saved, but still in bondage to the power of the flesh. I mean, still fighting his fight. I mean, the price has been paid to redeem this person, but they've not experienced the victory that's available, because the victory to have, the power to have victory over the sin in our life, it is available to every believer. It's not like we're just thrown out there on our own and God just says, "Well, I hope you can just do the best you can." No, we have the power to overcome these things. The price has been paid, but many people have not experienced this victory that God wants them to have. And he says, "I am carnal." And then he also says this, "The law is spiritual." So let's get this. Come on, it's really very simple as we get on into it, for sure. We know that the law doesn't save. Come on, the law doesn't save. Nobody's ever been able to keep the Ten Commandments except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. The law doesn't save. It's good principle to live by, but it does not save. Nobody's ever been good enough to get saved. We're saved through the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the law was given us to show that we cannot be good enough to work our way to God. And we cannot, the law cannot be kept to win our salvation. And even though that's true, the law is still spiritual. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, the law is right. Even though we may not be able to always keep it, it is right. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." And that's the only time in our Bible that the word success is used, and it's equated with how much we read and obey the Bible. And so even though we're carnal, the law is still good. The law is spiritual. So here's the bottom line of all that. He acknowledges that God is right and he is wrong. That's a good place to get in your life. No, it's a really good place to get in your life. Where we would acknowledge all along the way, as we get into the Word of God, as we read the Word of God, as we hear it taught, as we hear it preached, that God is right and I am wrong in all manners. So he says this in verse number 15. He says, "For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I." Now, I've read this portion of Scripture. I don't even know how many times I've read this portion of Scripture. And it's always hard to read. I mean, the way that it's written, it's always hard to read. I know what he's saying, but it's always like, okay. So, for the sake of the message today, and if you were in Sunday school, yes, I know we have the perfect, inerrant, inspired Word of God, and I wouldn't do anything to change it, try to correct it, anything, and I'm not. But I want to paraphrase it. You mind? You mind if I paraphrase it just a little bit to help us just better understand what's going on here? Because there in verse 15, he's saying this. You know, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another way, doing things that I despise. That's what the Apostle Paul is saying right there. He said, it's crazy because I know what I should do and I'm not doing that. I say that I'm going to do this, but then I do something else. And no, there's a point to be made here because verse number 16 says this. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that that is good. Now let me paraphrase that to fit it with verse number 15. Well, what he's saying here is he says, you know, I decide one way and then I act another way. So, in verse 16, he's saying this. So, if I cannot be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then go ahead and do it, get this, and then go ahead and do it, then it becomes obvious that God's word is necessary. Oh, come on. It's like, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, look at the word of God. Whatever it says, that's what you're supposed to do. Come on, we do believe this is the word of God, right? And so, I mean, when we can't figure out what exactly am I supposed to do, look at the Word of God. And whatever the Word of God just says, just go ahead and do that. Come on, this is a place that every one of us needs to come to. I mean, it's not going to do us a bit of good if we're not willing to yield to God. We have to get to a place where we're willing to yield to God. Man, oh man, I'm trying to do the best I can. Well, that's good. You get points for trying. I guarantee you God gives us points for trying. We are all really just trying to live the Christian life, aren't we? Yes, we are. We're just trying. Now, come on. We're either really trying or we say we're trying, but I mean, we're all just trying at our best. And so we're trying to live by what God's Word says, or we're trying to do the right thing. And I don't know why I just can't do the right thing. Well, it comes to the point where we have to realize if we're going to do the right thing, then we have the answer right here before us. The Word of God becomes necessary. What am I supposed to do? What does the Word of God says? Well, it says this, then that's what you're supposed to do. Come on, God didn't make this complicated. Everybody wants to overcomplicate the spiritual, the Christian walk, but it's really not that complicated. God gave us the Holy Spirit of God when we got saved. We have the Word of God here before us. We allow God to speak to our heart. We decide, yes, this is what I want to do, but this is what God says, so I need to do what God says I should do. But he goes on and to come to a great realization. Verse number 17 there. He says, then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So get this. I'm going to continue to paraphrase here. Get this. In verse number 17, he says, For I know the law. And if I know the law, but still can't keep it, and if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. Okay, who would agree with that? Mercy sakes alive, I need help. I need help that only God can give. And so it goes on, verse number 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. So he says this, I realize, get this, it's really very simple. I realize I don't have what it takes. Now I can will it, but I can't do it in the flesh. We cannot live the Christian life in the flesh. We can't do it. It's an impossibility. You know, I believe there's a lot of people out there that have made professions of faith, but they're not truly saved by the grace of God. They don't have the Holy Spirit of God living in them. And they're trying to live the Christian life, and it's just a life of frustration. It's a life of drudgery. Well, you know, I'm trying to do everything the preacher says, but I'm telling you, and there's nothing there because you cannot live the Christian life in the flesh. You can't do it. For a time, you may go through some of the steps, but you're not going to have the joy that God wants you to have. Come on, you've read the Gospel of John, right? And he wants us to have his joy. He wants our joy to be full. You're not going to have that if you're trying to do this in the flesh. And he says, I can will it, but I can't do it in the flesh. And then verse 9 and 19 says, for the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. And so he says this in verse 19, I decide to do good, but I don't really do it. And I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. I don't want anybody to show hands, but I mean, have you ever come to a church service and God spoke to your heart very, very clearly, and maybe even came down to an altar and said some prayer, had some prayer about what God spoke to you about? You've decided that's exactly what I need to do. I know that's what I need to do. I know that's where I'm at in my life. I know that's what I have to do. I know that's it. And you came down and maybe even prayed about it a little bit and walked out, and really before maybe the next 24 hours was up, you were doing the same thing again. Surely I'm not the only one that's been through that. And again, I don't want a show of hands, but surely I'm not the only one that's been through that. But I have been through that before, because the battle with the flesh is very, very real. It's very real. Certainly. We vow that we're not going to talk a certain way, and then we find ourselves talking that way. And we vow we're not going to look at certain things, and we find ourselves looking at things. And we vow we're not going to think about this, and before you know it, we're thinking about this. And I'm telling you, it's a real battle that people, Christians, face. It's a real battle. And in verse number 20, he said, now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. So here's what he says. I hope I'm making this clear. He says, my decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. He goes on. Something has gone wrong deep within me, and it gets the better of me every time. And then he says in verse 21, I find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. So he says, something has gone wrong deep within me. It gets better of me every time. And he goes on, verse 21, and it happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to do good, sin is there to trip me up. I make these decisions, and then I can't seem to get carried through. Then how does he even know that he's saved? Because of verse 22, it says, for I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Now, what he's saying there is that the desire to do right is there. In my years of being saved, I've messed up a lot more than I like to even think about. I've tripped, stumbled, fell on my face a few times in my Christian walk. I don't even like to think about it. But the desire to do the right things never departed. Even at those times years ago when I did wrong, I knew I shouldn't be doing wrong. I mean, the desire to do the right thing was there. How do you know you're saved? Because the Spirit bears witness. He's there. And that desire to do the right thing, it's there. And no matter how much I fail the Lord, He's never failed me. He's always been there, tried to help me and urge me along. The desire to do the right thing, it is there. And that's what the Apostle Paul is saying. Man, it's still there. I delight in the law of God after the inward man. I know that things are different in me. But then in verse number 23, he says this, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. So he says this, he's willing to recognize that the enemy, come on, this really is good, that the enemy still lurks within. Or if I'm saved, why do I still desire these things? Because you still have that flesh on. It's the same flesh you had when you got saved. Same flesh. Still has some of the same yearnings, desires. No, come on, God gives us victory over different things. Thank God for that. But this old flesh, It still wants what it wants when it wants it. And it can rear its ugly head at just about any time if we're not careful. We have to be on guard. And the Apostle Paul, it's like he says, you know, there's a part of me that wants to do right. But then that rebel sticks his head up. And way too many times I listen to him. We have to be careful when those times come, don't we? We have to be on guard. Because if we're not, if we're not, boy, the flesh is so powerful and the devil is so sly. I mean, pretty soon we will even start to doubt God. And we may even start, if we're listening to our own flesh, the more that we're listening to God, we may even start to doubt our own salvation. Well, I don't even really know if anything happened in my life and whatsoever. Oh, no. I'm telling you, we have to be careful. The more we yield to the flesh, the worse it can be. We have to realize that there are two of us now. There's the old me and there's the new me, and I need to be feeding the new me, because every time that rebel sticks his head up, I just need to slap him back down. And then I really like verse number 24, because when it gets to verse number 24, now realize this. And I don't even know if the Apostle Paul really realized what all he was writing as God gave him the wherewithal to be writing this down. But it's like he comes to this realization in verse number 24, where it says, "Oh, wretched man that I am." And you see the exclamation point there. I mean, it's like, oh, I'm so wretched. I'm so undone. And he says this, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And so it's like he realizes how dangerous that old man can be in his own life. He says, if I don't stop listening to this old me, it's going to be my death. Mercy. Oh, wretched man that I am. Why can't I read the Word of God? Why can't I pray the way that I should? Why can't I enjoy church services? Why do I have such struggles? Good grief, what is the answer for this? Who's going to deliver me from the body of this wickedness? And I love it. Because, you know, when we start seeking God for what we need to live a life for Him, when we really seek Him, stay with me here, when we really seek Him, guess what? He gives us answers. Because that's the way God is. Because the very next verse says this, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So the answer is, who's going to deliver me from this wickedness? Who's going to help me to read my Bible and go to church and do the right thing, make the right decision? Who's going to help me? Well, the answer is Jesus. And through Jesus Christ, we have the victory. No. Wait, look. The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does help us. He is the answer when I want to serve God with all of my heart and mind. But I'm still being pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. He's the answer. He's the answer. We run to Him. And what He wants for us. Remember, He died for your sin to give you victory over sin. That's why He died. Come on, He came. He was born in a manger. All those things. Yes, very true story. But He came that He might grow and that He might go and die the horrible death on the cross and shed His blood for the sin of mankind, that we might be saved from the penalty of sin, but also have victory over the influence of sin. Well, then what do we do, preacher? Well, now get this. With our mind, you have to get this. The devil's favorite playground is our mind. He likes to plant thoughts in our head. He'll use music, he'll use television, he'll use social media, he'll use anything to plant thoughts and our head. So with the mind, we decide we're going to serve the law of God. The new man, wants to do right. But with the flesh, the law of sin. So there's this old man that still wants to do what he wants to do. Okay, preacher, then give us the answer. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Turn over there. You can lose your place there. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. And to look at verse number 16. Galatians 5:16. This I say, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For if the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. So here's the answer. We have to decide, and it is a decision. I said something about it in Sunday school. We have to come to that place. We decide that we are going to follow God. So we must decide to walk in the Spirit. Now, that's not a spooky thing. That's not something like, ooh, how do I do that? It's not spooky at all. No. Walking in the Spirit, please get this, walking in the Spirit is an attitude of life. Everything that I do, everything that I decide to do, listen, with my mind, I do it to please God. With my mind, I serve the law of God. Everything I decide to do with my mind, I do to please God. If things come into my mind that I know are not pleasing to God, they have to go. I'm not walking in the Spirit of God if I'm doing things that are against what God would have me to do. I have to make the decision that I'm going to walk in the Spirit. And although we're surrounded by this rebellion, I live in rebellion, this flesh, although we're surrounded by this rebellion, we do not have to give in to what it desires. We don't have to give in to that. And not all people have the same desires, but boy, those desires, the works of the flesh are bad. But we don't have to give in to the desires, because verse 18 says, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So we give ourselves to follow God's word in everything that we do, and we live this crucified life. A crucified life. Verse number 24. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. Okay, get this then. Oh, we're doing great. We're doing really good. Someone might say, some Christian might say, well, I can still do whatever I want to do. Exactly. No, that's exactly right. You can do whatever you want to do. The pastor's not going to run around trying to stop you. That's not his responsibility. His responsibility is to deliver the word of God. And it's our responsibility whether or not we take it and apply it to our own life. So yeah, you can go ahead and do whatever you want to do. But if we're doing things that go against what God would have us to do as we walk in the Spirit, if we're going against those things, the Bible makes it clear that there's always a price to pay for that. And it also makes it clear that, excuse me, if we are following God and doing what God would have us to do, then our life continues to prosper spiritually. And we begin to grow, I mean really grow spiritually. As we deny ourselves, come on, someone that was crucified, they were nailed to the cross. Guess what? They couldn't do what they wanted to do. And if we're living this crucified life, what we're saying is that I'm dying to the flesh. I know what it wants. I know what it likes. But this is what God says. And I would rather walk in the Spirit that I might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. I don't know about you, but the lust of the flesh has gotten me a lot of trouble over my lifetime. And it still will when we listen to it. And it is very powerful, isn't it? Oh, it is. I'm not standing up here like I've arrived. I guarantee you, I've not arrived. If I let my wife stand up, she'd testify, I guarantee you. I've not arrived. But God has changed my life so much, and I came to the realization a long time ago that when I did what God wanted me to do rather than what Bill wanted to do, boy, it sure worked out a lot better. And it's still that way today. And we never stop growing. No matter how much we have matured in Christ, we never stop growing. And I guarantee you, everybody in here that is saved is at different maturity levels in Christ. We're all somewhere. Come on, we're down here, we're up here, we're all somewhere. We're at different levels. Because God doesn't work on everybody exactly the same all the time. And one of the reasons for that is because many do not submit themselves to Him to be worked upon. They're walking in the flesh more than they're walking in the Spirit. And because of that, they're just kind of plateaued. Oh, they're saved by the grace of God. They know they are, and God still tries to work in their heart and try to get them to do the right things. I mean, I thank God for the Holy Spirit that continues to work on us and try to help us to be where God wants us to be. And God works on them that way, but they've already decided, well, I'm not going to do that. And I don't need, that preacher's always after us to read our Bible every day, but you know, I don't even read that well. And you know, I just don't have time to read that thing every day. And the preacher's always after us, be at church every time the doors are open. But heavens to Betsy, I've got a life to live and I can't be at church every time the doors are open. That's a little fanatical anyway. And and the preacher's always after us, you know, that we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, and we ought to be doing this, and we ought to be doing that. But man alive, I've got things that, well, that I want to do. Come on, do you see how easy that the flesh can pretty soon just talk us into doing whatever it wants to do? The flesh likes to rationalize things. Well, you really don't have time to do that. And, you know, you'd really rather just sit and relax. And you're too tired. And, you know, man, you got that little headache. And to go to church and listen to another one of those messages, I mean, good grief. You probably just need to sit and relax, turn television on, watch the rest of the game. You know, it's not that big a deal if you miss church. I'm telling you, the flesh is a force to be reckoned with. And it works all the time because it wants its own way. It wants to do its own thing. It doesn't want to listen to God. It wants to have its own way. But it's when we're listening to it, we're beating ourselves out of the blessings of God. We're allowing our own flesh to steal us away from all the good things that God wants to do in our life because, you know, this is about what I want. So we have to make this decision every day, truly, that we're going to walk in the Spirit, that we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on. And the lust of the flesh, that word lust doesn't always have to have some type of sexual connotation to it. The lust of the flesh is just whatever the flesh wants to do. Whatever it might want to do. Whatever it longs for. That lusting, that longing. It's just giving in to what it wants instead of yielding to what God wants. So walking in the Spirit's not some spooky thing. Walking in the Spirit is just listening to God and doing what we know that God would have us to do. Even, listen, please listen, I'm almost done. Even when our flesh doesn't like it. Have you ever argued with yourself? This preacher's a little wacko, so arguing with himself. There's sometimes I argue with myself about what's most important. Okay, let me give you a for instance. Have you ever argued with yourself when you decided you needed to sit down and read your Bible? And you sit down and you read four or five verses and all of a sudden these thoughts, well, you need to get up and do this, you need to do this. You don't have time for this, you need to get up and you need to do this. Or maybe when you get down to pray and then you get down to pray and you pray just a little bit and then pretty soon these thoughts come in your mind. Well, you hurry up and get this done because this isn't that important. There's things that you need to get done that are really important. I'm just saying the flesh doesn't like the spiritual. The spiritual is work to the flesh. And so there's this argument that goes on, isn't there? Surely I'm not the only one that faces this. I still face it today, 34 years being saved almost. Get down to pray, all these things come into my mind. But I'm telling you, there's nothing more important than talking to God. Sit down to read my Bible, all these different things come into my mind, what I could be doing, all these different things. Mercy sakes, I need the Word of God. I need it in here because I know me. And I have to decide I'm going to do what God wants me to do instead of what Bill wants to do. And really, that's what it comes down to. It's an amazing thing that people have a hard time sitting down and reading their Bible for a half hour or hour or whatever, but they can get on their telephone on social media and stay on it for an hour and a half, reading all types of things. It's what the flesh wants, enjoyable to the flesh. That's why we have to feed the Spirit. Very important. Feeding that Spirit man, that new man. He needs it to be strong. Because whichever one we feed the most, that's the one that's going to win out. If we're saved, wouldn't you say this? God deserves our best. Come on, He paid a high price that we could be saved, His only begotten Son. So He really does deserve our best. So it's not just good enough to be alive in the Spirit to be saved. We also must live our life in the Spirit. Because if we don't, come on, I'm right at done. Because if we don't, we'll just continue to live the same old life. From this point forward, just the same old, same old. This is where I'm comfortable. I'm telling you, many times God doesn't want us where we're comfortable. There's a lot of times He yanks us out of our comfort zone or tries to. I shouldn't have said that because He really doesn't make us do anything, but He sure prompts us to get out of our comfort zone, doesn't He? To live beyond what even we think we can live. Our flesh will argue with us. Come on, God wants us to do this. Well, our flesh, you can't do that. You know who you are. You know who you really are. You can't do that. Oh, yeah, we can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth us. If we're willing to die to self and to walk in the Spirit. We do live in rebellion. But shame to say, many born-again children of God are still, they're still living out their rebellion. It never does turn out well. I've only been trying to pastor about 10 years now, but in that short 10 years, I've seen both sides of this. Come on, stay with me, please. I've seen both sides of this. I've seen people get saved and get in the book and get in church and get involved, and I mean, they're just whatever God says, that's what they want to do. And I've watched them grow and prosper and be filled with the joy of God. And then I've watched those that get saved, and boy, they're excited at first, and this is great, and then for whatever reason, they just allow themselves to kind of plateau. And then sad to say, I've seen too many of those just kind of walk away. It's dangerous to plateau. God wants us to continue to grow. But we can't do that unless we are walking in the Spirit. But first, to do that, we have to decide to die to self. To self. John the Baptist said, speaking of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. Old self has to die. Has to get out of the way. There really does have to be that time that we make the decision to live our life in the Spirit, to walk in the Spirit. To live that new life that God has so unselfishly provided for us, if we're just willing to listen to Him. A lot of people don't enjoy their Christianity because they don't live it out. Oh, they're saved by the grace of God, but they're not living a Christ-like life. I'm afraid that's where the biggest part of Christianity is today. They're stuck in a little niche of religiosity. Well, there's so much more to the Christian life than that. You don't want to miss it. But the only way to miss it is die to self. Live unto God. Walk in the Spirit that you might not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It's taking those thoughts, those wrong thoughts, ideas, into captivity and casting them out. And living by every word which proceedeth out of the mouth of God. When we decide to do that, it's a game changer. It's a life changer. There's no doubt about it. Absolutely. Would you bow your heads with me? We're going to bow our head for just a moment. Our heads are bowed. Eyes are closed for a moment. This morning, I don't know, but maybe someone is here that would say, "Preacher, I'm not even sure that I've been saved. I'm not sure my sins are forgiven. I'm not sure that I've ever really put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I'm just not sure I have that settled." And Brother Marshall, would you please just pray for me? Well, I'd like to. You're in here like that this morning. Would you allow me to pray for you? Just slip your hand up wherever you're at. I wouldn't point you out. I'm not going to call out your name if I knew it. But I'd sure like to pray for you. Preacher, I'm just not sure I'm saved. Anyone like that this morning? Anyone at all? God bless your heart. I appreciate your honesty very much. Thank you. Thank you. Others, anybody else? Preacher, that's me. I'm not sure I got that settled. Anybody? This morning, you'd have to say, being honest with yourself and honest with God, "Preacher, that message, if anybody needed that message, I needed it. God spoke to me, and I know there's some things I need to do. Will you please pray for me that I'll be willing to do what I know God wants me to do with my life?" I want to pray with you like that. God spoke to your heart this morning. Would you slip your hand up and allow me to do that right there and there and there and back there and there and over there? God bless you. Hands across the auditorium. You may put your hands down. Thank you so much for your honesty. We appreciate it very much. Now, Heavenly Father, We pray for those in here that do not know. They do not know for sure in their heart that if they were to pass from this life, that they'd spend eternity with you. They do not know that their sins are forgiven. Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart, that you would draw them unto yourself. You're the only one that's able to do that. That you would bring them to that place of turning you to you and putting their trust in Christ before it's too late. Work in their life, Lord, please, for that they might get this all settled before it's too late. And then for all the other hands all over the auditorium, I don't know how you've spoken to folks. I don't know where they are in their Christianity. I don't know where they are in their walk with you. But they ask if I would pray for them, and I do. I lift them up to you this morning. And I ask, dear God, please, that you help us to be strong in your might, to draw from your strength. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. And I pray that we would draw from you and that we would make decisions, even this morning, that we're going to walk in the Spirit and quit fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If we never make the decision, it's not going to happen. So, dear God, I pray you'd give us the wherewithal just to drop all of our pride and today to bow a knee to you and make that decision that we're going to walk in the Spirit with your help. Bless this time of invitation, we pray. Work in our hearts and lives today. We ask these things and we trust you for them. We ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand to our feet, our heads.